Hi everyone and welcome to Day 10 for Torah number 711. I hope you all are well. Any questions, comments, suggestions, recommendations, or sponsorships, please email me at rabbiismach@take10fortorah.org. So of course we have at the end of this week's parasha, the Jews are free. Shmos, Va'ira, Bo, B'shalach ends the story of the Exodus. Yet, at the end of the story, we have a very interesting legend, the Medrash, that says something that you might not believe. I'd like to talk about that today. And so it says in Shmos, Yud Dalet Chav Ches, after the sea splits and the sea returns on top of the Egyptians, the water returns and it covers all of Paro's chariots and his army. And not a single one of them remained. And so the simple reading of the verse obviously means that not a single one remained. Everybody was a goner. Everybody who had come with Paro himself were gone. Now, we find the Machlokas in the Medrash about whether or not it actually means that. So one opinion says, Afilu Paro, even Paro died, as it says, Lo Nishar Behem Ad Echad, not even one died. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Nechemiah disagrees. He says, actually, Chutz Mi Paro, except for Paro, other than Paro, everybody died except for Paro, Paro survived. And he quotes a pasuk we'll see in a moment as evidence. There's another pasuk as well in Tehillim, Parak Kuf Vav, which we say every single morning right before the Shemona Esrei, right before the Bracha of Goal Yisrael. It says, Vayichasu mayim tzareihem, echad mehem lo nosar. The water covered our enemies, and even one was not remaining. The Medrash there brings the precisely identical Machlokas, where Rabbi Yehuda says, even Paro, even one did not last. But Rabbi Nechemiah disagrees again and says, Paro nishtayer la'atzmo, he was the only one to survive. And he brings the same pasuk. The pasuk that they're talking about, debating over, is a pasuk that we read in Shemos Tess. After the Makkah of Barad, where there it writes, V'yemar Shem Moshe Hashkim Boker, go speak to Paro and tell him as follows. Of course, send my people, let my people go. Kiva pamasos and sholech eskamakif osai el libcha. I am sending now all of my plagues against your heart. Now, it's a very difficult expression, all of my plagues. He's just introducing the Makkah of Barad. Why does it refer to all of the plagues? Is this some sort of summary of the entire situation? Was Barad so powerful that it included all the plagues so far? It's not clear. But further on in the paragraph, he says, V'ulam bavur zos hematicha bavur haroscha eskochi ulaman saper shemi b'chol ha'aretz. Nevertheless, even though you're getting all these plagues, or you will get all these plagues, I have spared you for this purpose, in order to show you my power, and in order that my fame may resound throughout the world. And so this pasuk seems to imply that Paro has survived this far, and, according to this Rabbi Nechemiah, it seems to imply that he will survive this entire encounter. He will survive all of the plagues in order to be God's PR guy, in order to be able to spread the word that God is the true God, and one should listen, and nobody knows that better than Paro. And so we find a really interesting legend in the Midrashim that Paro survives, and somehow he makes it out of the sea, and as one Midrash puts it, guess what happens to him? Uba malach vehalu min hayam veholichu leNineveh. He's taken to the city of Nineveh. Where does Nineveh come up? Of course, Nineveh is the city in the story of Yonah, where we read on Yom Kippur, the Haftorah for Mincha, of how Yonah is sent on a mission to get a very evil and wicked city to do tshuva. Nineveh is that city. He doesn't want to go. In the end, he ends up going. And indeed, there's a king there who, once he shows up and he tells the people, hey, God's going to destroy your city if you don't start taking life seriously. And this king, oh my gosh, he reforms and he turns everybody around. And so says the Medrash that this Paro, who lasted and survived, was the same king of Nineveh. Now, obviously, the years are very difficult and requires Paro to be alive for many, many, many hundreds of years. But I just want to share with you how this story is told. Because why would it be that Paro, why would anybody get this idea that Paro would be the one to be able to survive? You know, Paro of those times was like the Hitler, right? The biggest and most evil and vile villain against the Jewish people was Paro. How could it be that Paro survived to have this second career? So Pirkei Rabbi Lezer says beautifully, I believe, Rabbi Nechuni ben Akana Omer, Teida lecha koach hatshuva. See how the power of tshuva is so great, the power of repentance. Bora emi Paro melech Mitzrayim. We can learn this from Paro, the king of Egypt. Shemar b'tzur elyon harimod. He went against the rock up high so much, and he said the words, Mi Hashem asher eshma b'kolo. who is God that I should listen to him? And exactly in that expression, he responded later, Mikamocha ba'elim Hashem, Mikamocha neder ba'kodesh. Who is like you amongst all of the forces, all of the powers, God? Who is amongst you? Who is among you, Ne'edar BaKodesh, adorned in holiness? And of course, those words in Oz Yashir aren't necessarily in Paro's mouth, but this Medrash puts them in Paro's mouth. Ve'etzilo HaKadosh Baruch Hu ben HaMesim, and God saves him, as it says, Medrash goes on, to talk about him, to be present when the evil city of Nineveh, they do all of the things that they do. U'cheshashalach HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'yona l'hinaveh, Aleha lahachriva, and when Yonah is later sent to change that city, Shema Paro, the same Paro who was there in Egypt, hears and remembers. Oh, remember that God who you know you had round one with and it didn't go so well. Va'aman mikiso v'kara begandavi, gets up from his throne, he tears his clothing, v'lavash sak v'efer, and he wears sackcloth and ash. V'hechriz b'chalamoshi yitzumu kolam, everybody should fast, etc., etc. And he reacts drastically because he knows God's power, he knows God's involvement in the world, and that's how Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar understands it. That is, a sincere tshuva, he became a good guy, which really is remarkable, whether the story happened, the story didn't happen. The fact that we could put in the greatest villain of Jewish history, the concept of tshuva, that he could do tshuva. Now, yeah, maybe he can't do tshuva for the Ben Adam L'Chavera, right? He can't vicariously forgive somebody, we've talked about that before, for things that they do to somebody else. Right, you can't do that, and those people are no longer around. So how does he get a real full tshuva? But between his sins, between him and God, it seems that according to this idea of Rabbi Nachman ben Akana, he is able to overcome, and tshuva is that great that even the most vilest of villains is able to pull that off. The Shach in Devarim says, the pasuk which says, Lo tisaev mitzri, where it tells us that we're not supposed to abhor the Egyptian, you're allowed to allow an Egyptian after three generations to marry into the Jewish people. It says, it's referring to, says the Shach, that mitzri, Paro himself, mitzri as in a lashon yachid, a singular language, do not abhor that Egyptian, that Paro, who did tshuva, we should not abhor him, and we should believe in his tshuva, which is pretty remarkable. The Baal HaTurim actually points out the association that we have over here in Oz Yashir, where it says, Vayaminu Bashem. We only find that expression of Vayaminu Bashem, they believed in God, only one other place, Vayaminu Anshe Nineveh. They believed, the people of Nineveh believed in God. And so this idea of Vayaminu, Vayaminu, that same expression is used in both, so that might be an indicator of why people saw an association between these two stories. Now, of course, there's another perspective over here, and that perspective, of course, it agrees with Paro. It agrees, this other perspective agrees with the idea that Paro ended up in Nineveh, but not necessarily because he did tshuva and he was a wonderful person, but because something else which is remarkable. He got rewarded for the good that he did. What good that he did? So the pasuk in this week's parasha says, Paro hekriv, Paro got closer to the Jews, and of course the Jews in that moment had this incredible existential crisis because they're sandwiched between Paro and his marauding army and the sea. So says Shmos Rabbah, what does that mean, Paro hekriv, he came close? So Paro hekriv means shehikriv es Yisrael l'tshuva sha'asu. They did tshuva in that moment, that great crisis. They came closer to God than they had ever been before. And it says, Yafa hesa hakravas Paro, this coming close of Paro, was greater mimea tzomos utfilos, than 100 fast days and 100 tfilos. It was greater than all of that because of what it accomplished. And so, the Shach in Shmos, Parshas B'Shalach, says, Mashileim lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He got paid back for this. What did he get paid back for? The fact that he was able to inspire the people and the way he was, even though he was a villain, even though he was doing it for bad reasons. So still, the fact that he was able to force teshuva gets him the reward to be able to be the king of Nineveh. And it shows us the power of tshuva, because not only is it powerful if we ourselves do it, but if we cause other people, even through the worst possible means and the worst possible methods, it's still an amazing thing. So this all comes full circle, because there's a very famous question about why it is that the story of Nineveh and the story of Yonah is even recorded in Tanakh. The Radak asked the question, and particularly we can ask, why do we read it on Yom Kippur? So we all see it, of course, as a tshuva story. Anybody could do tshuva, even the city of Nineveh. Okay? But maybe it's telling us something even deeper. Anybody could do tshuva, even Paro, the greatest villain in all of Jewish history, in all of the Bible, somehow is associated with the second time around, when he's faced with that choice of tshuva, he finally gets it right. That, perhaps, is the most inspiring, and that's the pinnacle of Yom Kippur, when we see the worst person ever can do better, the worst person ever can change. Have a great day, and enjoy.